Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our purpose statement at Bridge Church is to reach people where they are and help them grow. We hope today's message inspires you towards growth, and we pray it's life-changing, and we hope to see you soon.
Good afternoon. I want to make some announcements here before we get started. First, we baptized some baptisms today. Amen. Let's give it up for our baptisms. It's always good to see people giving their life to Christ. You may not be aware of this. You're in the 12 o'clock service, but our 10:30 service, our children, except for the nursery, all of our children have gone over to the school behind us. There's some more space. Our children's ministry has expanded. And so let's celebrate our children's ministry for its expansion. Huge, huge win. Also want to make you guys aware, every Monday through Friday, we have a prayer call that we do at 6:30 a.m. Want to make you aware of that because as a church, we fundamentally believe that everything that we have has been given from the Lord, and we just want to continue to have a posture as a church, as very dependent people on Christ. We have about 100 folks on there each morning. We ask that you would just join us for that time, that we might intercede. Lastly, I do want to give you guys a bit of just awareness. Many of you know that we've had this All Nations initiative. It's really been about several things we've wanted, but mostly we've wanted to be able to get this building for 24/7 use. We are in negotiations, talking through building space. If anybody's ever dealt with New York City real estate, extra prayers, praise God, just because it is what it is. So we have not given an update on how much money we raised and all that we're doing there because we're trying to get some closure on where we're at with the building. That may take several more weeks, but we want to give you that update there. I wonder if you'd join me in prayer as we get ready to go before our Lord and hear from His Word. Who are we that you are mindful of us, God? Who are we that you care for us? It is amazing that you have given us an opportunity to hear from your word. We can read it. We can study it. But there's something cosmic about a bunch of people gathered in a room, not assuming that a man is trying to inspire them, but in actuality, there's a belief that the Spirit of the living God is using people to speak. Yes. And so because of that cosmic wonder, because of that miracle that you do, we ask that you do it again. That you would, by way of the Holy Spirit, not man's ingenuity, not man's intelligence, not cleverness, but would you, by your Spirit, speak to us? Because there are so many different people in this room at different places, but somehow you know where each one of us is at. Yes. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, speak to us. Make yourself available to us so that when we walk away from this place, we will know that you have spoken. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing on in the book of James. Before we get into our time of baptism, we want to journey through this. And James has been really hitting on so many different ideas about a practical faith. He's talked about being hearers and doers of the word. He's talked about how you speak and all these different things. But now, James, he's going to do something very helpful for us. He's going to help us evaluate a community, evaluate a church. That's what you've done, most of you, in choosing a church, you evaluated that church. You walked in and you heard the sermon preached and you made an evaluation of it. You heard the worship go forth and you made an evaluation of it. You were around the people in the community and you made an evaluation of it, and you kind of said to yourself, what can I get from this? Can I grow here? Will I like it here? Are these people I could be amongst? But he says, I know you're going to pay attention to the preaching. I know you're going to pay attention to the community. I know you're going to pay attention to the worship. But he says, I want you to think about one more thing if you're evaluating, thinking about a community. Here's the question you should ask. Does this community value vulnerable people? Does it care for those that are exposed in life? By vulnerable, I mean the poor, the hungry, the naked, the addicted, those with issues of mental health, those that are hurting, those that are sick. How does that community care for vulnerable people? James is going to say, you can learn a lot from how they care for vulnerable people. As a church, we've admitted we always need to get better at this. Last year, we changed our purpose statement. Our purpose statement was to reach people where they are and help them grow. And we said, you know, if we grow, people might think we just want to grow inwardly, but that has no effect on the city. And so we changed our purpose statement in order to express that our faith has to hit the city. A faith that doesn't touch the city keeps us in here. It's like a light that never touches darkness. And in the same way, we changed our purpose statement to say we want to reach people where they are and help them grow so that they impact the city for Jesus. We began to evaluate not just what we do in terms of our purpose statement, but how we can do more in the city, help those who are hurting more. We've continued with our partnership with a church called Next Steps Community Church. They help those who are coming out of recovery, those who are in transitional housing. They've been doing this for over 20 years. And so we partner with them. They are downtown on Livingston. And so I want you to know that if you have not downloaded our app, you're going to be missing out on a lot of what's happening in our community. So in our app, if you'll look there, on the bottom, there's a little lightning bolt there that says connect. When you click on it, right above it, it says click here to serve. When you do that, it will give you an opportunity to be able to serve at Next Step Community Church. We have about 7 to 10 people that serve there each week. We can always do better. We can always get better. There are a number of ways that we want to continue to help those that are hurting, help those that are the least of these in our society. But if we're being honest, the reason why I'm telling you about an app and I'm telling you where to click is because vulnerable people are easy to ignore. And we live in a city that everybody's trying to get ahead. Everybody's trying to get up one. And we're trying to figure out, how can I network and what can you give me? And the thing about vulnerable people is you give them something and they can't give you anything back. You avoid people that can't give you nothing back. A lot of us want to avoid one-way relationships, amen? You want to help somebody that's going to help you back. You want to text them and have you text them back, amen? I'm preaching this morning. Vulnerable people can't do anything for you. You're just doing something for them. And when you love the vulnerable, it keeps our discipleship with Jesus pure. It reminds us that when we met Jesus, we were vulnerable. We don't just call him friend, we call him Savior, because he rescued us when we were at our worst, when we were at our most vulnerable state. And when we worship, the word worship actually means to give worth, to ascribe worth. We are trying to offer back a little bit of what God has done for us. We honor him because he's blessed us. We do you think your little tithe can be equated to his life? No. No, we are just trying to offer back a little bit of what he's done for us. When I was growing up, we had a song that said, "You can't beat God's giving, no matter how you try." Huh? I felt, now the first service, there was nobody that responded, but there was like five people. The more you give, the more he gives to you. I got two people in the house that remember that song. So, but listen, you can't beat God. God has given you so much, and you had nothing. And we have very few people that walk through these doors because they've been on the mountaintop with Jesus. Most people come from the valley. Yeah, they come from hard times. They need a friend. They need a savior. And so it is with James that he says, "I know you're going to evaluate the singing and the friendships and the community, but how does this community value what God values? Because church, God values vulnerable people." So James will say it this way in James chapter 1, verse 27. If you have your Bible, you can go there. Or if you have an app, you can look on there. Or you can look here on the screen. "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction." Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. That's all we're going to cover today, just this one verse. When we use the word religious, oftentimes in our culture today, the word religious is understood as a negative term. But in the New Testament, whenever it's talking about religion or religious, it's really talking about something that is ceremonial. It's talking about when we sing, when we do communion, when we fast, when we read our Bible, all the liturgy and ceremony. It's talking about religious activity. And what James is saying is, you can have religious activity, but you've got to make sure it remains pure and undefiled. And I want you to notice what he says. Religious activity that is pure and undefiled before God, in God's sight. Pure and undefiled. When he says pure and undefiled, they're synonyms. Pure meaning authentic. Undefiled meaning trustworthy. Real. An actual authentic love of God. I love what James does here because he says, if you want to make sure it's pure and undefiled in God's sight. We don't have time to go into this, but what he's trying to say is, you can have a religious veneer that man praises, but God's not praising. You can have a kind of religiosity that the crowd says is great, but God says is poor. In other words, God can say, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And so he's saying, make sure, if you want to make sure this is authentic, this is real, this is genuine, this is really before God, he says, you're going to visit orphans and widows. Wouldn't it be horrible if you were trying to honor God, but while trying to honor God, God was ignoring you? Isaiah 58, it's a very interesting text. In Isaiah 58, Isaiah is kind of giving some imagery of what's happening with God. In Isaiah 58, God is speaking back to what the people have been praying to him. And so he's giving this playback, and when he plays it back, this is what he says. He says, this is what y'all been saying. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Have you ever fasted? You ever fasted for a while? You really trying to hear from God? pushing back the plate, no food, amen, huh? You really want to hear from God? When you really want to hear from God, you're like, I need to fast and pray, right? And when you're fasting, you're just saying, God, I want you to open up the windows of heaven and hear my prayer. I want to show you some sacrifice so that you could hear my voice. And God says, I've noticed you've been fasting so that you could hear from me. But God challenges their fast. And he says to them in verse 3, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Oh, there's so much I could preach here. But I just want you to notice one thing. He says, behold, meaning I want to make you aware of this. The fasting you're doing is not for me, it's for you. It's for your own pleasure. And one of the things I've noticed about you is you oppress all your workers. You're a boss and you're mean to the people that are under you. So let me get this right. You don't listen to the people under you, but you want me to listen to you and I'm over top of you. God pays attention to the people you have power over. And he's very aware of how you care for people. Notice it talks about hitting with the wicked fist. In other words, there are people who are nice to God and mean to people. I know you don't know anybody like that, praise God. I know you don't know anyone like that. But I want to make you aware, leadership has a stewardship to it. That when God puts you in a position over people, he's putting you in a position to steward the care of them. Notice he says, you oppress all your workers. So what he is essentially saying is, when you treat the people under you poorly, I shut off the ears of heaven. I stop listening to you. Can you imagine? And so this is the wild part. God is playing back a prayer that they've prayed. He said, I heard you, but I didn't listen. Isn't that just offensive? Isn't that wild? Like, no, I heard you, but I'm not doing nothing because I've been watching you. And I watch the way you treat people. And I'm not cool with you flattering me with words, but you ignoring the people underneath you. God is very aware. And so what he goes on to say in Isaiah 58, 6 and 7, he says, is this not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness? Notice the idea of a system that's holding somebody back. Undo the straps of the yoke, image of the yoke holding someone back. To let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. He says in verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover him? It's a very powerful verse because what he's saying is you're doing all this religious activity, you're fasting. He says, but there were people who were needing bread and that were hungry and you ignored them. Watch what happens here. You fasted and you decided not to eat bread that whole week. But there were people that lived down the street from you that needed bread. What'd you do with the bread? You said, I won't eat bread, but they're not eating bread. I have bread, and I'm just choosing to go on a diet from bread. Meanwhile, they have no bread, but I'm going to ignore those that don't have bread, even though I have bread. What'd you do with the bread? You chose not to eat. They don't have anything to eat. How did you ignore the one without bread? You're wanting to hear from me, but you don't notice the vulnerable. You're wanting me to answer, but you ignore the requests around you. I can't help but notice people made in my image. I can't just act like you've not been mean-spirited. I can't act like you've ignored hurting people. James is going to say that there's a way in which God calls us to be the kind of people that helps people. You know, you don't have to be saved to think the church should help people. In fact, when people find out I'm a pastor, that's the first thing they expect us to be about. They assume y'all help people, right? Because the church should at least, I mean, there's people, they don't know if you preach the word. They don't know what songs you sing. But the assumption is, doesn't God care for people? We would assume that the church would be the expression of God on earth. And so it's an oxymoron to have an uncaring church. To have God's people not care about people. And so he says, if you want to keep, James says, if you want to keep your affection to God pure, untainted by the world, make sure you're visiting orphans and widows. Notice here in James 1, he says, visit orphans and widows. Would you say that with me? Visit orphans and widows. There's a difference. He doesn't say pray for orphans and widows. He doesn't say pay for the needs of orphans and widows. He doesn't say think strategically about orphans and widows. He doesn't say have a meeting about orphans and widows. He says visit orphans and widows. And the idea of visiting someone means they're over there and I got to get to where they are. Visiting, the whole connotation of visiting is I've got to be intentional to get to you. It's not about you coming to me. See, we're in this Instagram society where people like our brand and they come and we oftentimes create a space that's a commodity like goods and services and people like, I like your church, and they treat our website like a menu, and what ends up happening is we're this cool place where people come, and we can get so used to people coming that we don't visit people. He says, visit. The word visit there, it doesn't mean just to go check in on somebody. The word there in the Greek is, the root word there is similar to the word we get for bishop or overseer. It's the idea of taking care of someone. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him. Same Greek word as visit, that you care. The idea is not that you are just thinking about widows and orphans, but that you are taking care of their needs. The neediest people in the early church were widows and orphans. In a patriarchal society, at that time, if your husband died and there was not someone in your family to take care of you, you were in dire straits. If your mother and father died, there were not orphanages that would take care of you. You were subject to the streets if you didn't have a family member to take care of you. The government was not trying to look out for orphans and widows. In light of that, James says, we're not going to wait for the government. We're not going to wait for the family. Here's what we're going to do. We will take care of orphans and widows because they are the most vulnerable of our society. It is very easy to forget that God has a special place in his heart for orphans and widows, for the parentless and the husbandless at that time. God has a special concern for vulnerable people, people who have great need. The psalm says in Psalm 68 and 5 that he is a father of the fatherless, and a protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God cares, even in his holy place. He cares and he looks down. God cares for the vulnerable. We're busy, aren't we? We're such a busy people. On our phones, trying to get things done. I don't have time for everybody. You know, I tend to put people in two categories, life givers or life takers. You know, you take my time, you taking my money, you always want something. You know people like that always want something? I know you don't know nobody like that. They always want something. I see that same person on the street, they always want something. Do y'all know needy people? And it is very easy for us to actually try to live our lives where we avoid needy people. In fact, we can be intentional about getting as far away from needy people as possible. And John, in 1 John, he says something in the same spirit that James says it. Look here, in 1 John, he says, by this we know love. This is how we know love. That he laid down his life for who? For us. That he gave his life for us. That the blood and the nails were for you and I. And he did it laying down his life, giving his life. So John says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We were so vulnerable. God gave his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another because of what he's done for us. It should be evident in our community that we are sacrificial in how we care for one another. But John gets curious. He says in verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. John's just curious. He's curious. He says, how does God's love abide in him? Hold on. So you mean to tell me the Lord, our Savior, came from heaven to reach you at your worst and to love you? The Bible says he was rich and became poor so that we might become rich. He did that for you, and you see someone that's needy and you're ignoring them. He says, I'm confused. You've been impacted by the love of God, but you're able to ignore vulnerable people? You must have forgot you were vulnerable once. You know, we call it getting saved. God reached you at your worst. Now, I get it because I'm on the train too. Amen. I get it because I'm in this city too. Amen. I get it because people, you can't give everything to everybody. Amen. Huh? No. Can't bring everybody out to lunch? No, you can't. You can't help everybody. You can't serve everybody. You can't give everybody your time, everybody your money. You can't stop and help everybody. I get it. But that's not what John is asking. Because John says, watch this now. He says, if anyone has the world's goods, that's the first thing, you got it to give. Amen. Secondly, you see your brother in need. So you see the need. But then he says, he doesn't say, you've got the world good, you see your brother in need. And he doesn't say, and you meet that need. He says, yet closes his heart against him. And what John says, listen to me. What John says is, how dare you see the needs of people knowing God met you in all your worst needs? And you close your heart when God kept his heart open to you. How can you ignore people that are hurting when God saw you at your worst? He doesn't say keep your bank account open. He says keep your heart open. He says see people as they really are, because it's so easy to see people just as a need and not as a human. It's so easy to see people as an interruption, but not a person made in the image of God. It's so easy in this city to just see crowds and not see people. And he says, don't close your heart. Vulnerable. We were vulnerable this week with our Lord. We told him. We met him. Some of you prayed some intense prayers to the Lord this week. Sweat dripping type prayers. Spit slinging type prayers. I mean, tongues on tongues type prayers. And you prayed, some of you prayed at 2 a.m. And can you imagine the Lord being like, again? I mean, whew. You've been, do you, you know, you've been, wow, you hitting me up again. I'm just feeling like this relationship's one way. Can you imagine if God got tired of prayer? No, he. In fact, the Bible says when the veil was torn, we had immediate access. And so what we're saying is you can't make time for everyone, but you can always keep your heart open. Never close your heart. Never close your heart. Because God says, if you close your heart, I'll close my ears. And so in order to give us the imagery that he values people that are hurting, in Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the righteous. He's talking about those that will enter into heaven, the people that we think really know God. And he says in Matthew 25, there is this great judgment, and God tells people why they are entering into heaven with him. And here's what he says to them in Matthew 25. He says, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is why you will be with me in eternity. Six conditions he puts there: hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison. All vulnerable situations, all situations people are in desperate need. And the righteous, they start looking around, talking to one another, like, you know, Jesus just gave us really bigged us up for helping him when he was hungry. Do y'all remember feeding Jesus? I don't remember him on the street. Do you remember that? Jesus went to prayer. I don't remember that. Look what he says. He says in the next verse, in 37, the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? I didn't see you. When did we see you need food? When were you thirsty? When did you need something to drink? When was that you? And in verse 38, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And Jesus admits something that is so true of our society. He says those that are hungry, those that are imprisoned, those that are naked, all the vulnerable, they are considered the least of our society. And if we're really honest about the society we live in, we have people we place high value in and we put low value on. And he's saying these are the people that are considered least valuable because they can give you nothing back. And these low value people, when you treat them with kindness, love, respect, and honor, I want you to know that you are doing it to me because these people have been made in the image of God and they should be treated with great value. Yes. Here's something you've got to admit to yourself. You evaluate people and you put a little number on the top of people's heads. Oh, you don't have to say amen, I'll say it for you. There are certain people that are tens because they do something for you. There are certain people that are sevens because they support you, but there are certain people that are threes because they get in the way. There are twos on the trains and ones on the streets. You see, the people that are considered the least. And what Jesus basically saying is, if you saw that I was hungry, you would definitely try to get me something to eat. If you thought I was thirsty, you'd be like, oh, Jesus, you in prison? We're going to start a protest. Let's get Jesus out of prison. Because Jesus is important. And there in our society, there are important people and unimportant people. And he is saying that for those that society says are the least, we still give them honor and value because they have been made in the image of God. For Christmas, my wife and I, we decided to get some clothes, and I wanted some sweats. So I bought some Nike sweats. I felt good about it. Little did I know, I had come upon a gold mine culturally. My kids were like, "Dad, you have purchased Nike Tech." Unbeknownst to me, I had done something well in society. So that evening, we decided to go out to eat, and I put on my Nike Tech. And literally, my kid said, "I hope my friends see us." Wow. All those gifts, all those stuff, that didn't do it for you. But now Daddy bought some Nike Tech, and you want to be seen with me. And literally, they were like, "Dad, you fresh." For once. And we laugh. But there are certain people you're attracted to, certain things they wear, certain things they say. In fact, some of you might have chose this church because the people look cool. There's a certain vibe we give off, and we can become the type of church that has a look, that has a feel, that has a vibe. And you might value this church because of the way we make you feel, because of the way we make you look, because we might be Instagrammable. And what I'm trying to tell you is, a church can look good on earth but horrible in heaven. A church can look pure on earth. The Instagram can be popping, the Nike Tech can be amazing, but God says it's impure. And if you really want to keep a church pure, undefiled, visit orphans, widows, and to apply that, be intentional with the vulnerable. Yes. And if you ain't got time in your schedule, and if it ain't in your budget, make sure it's always in your heart. Yes. You can close your bank account, but never close your heart to the vulnerable. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. Thank you for meeting us in our most vulnerable state, God. Yes. God, thank you that you don't get tired of prayer. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us, Jesus, of how we, God, there were people this week we ignored and you wanted us to see them. Maybe I didn't say anything to them. Maybe I wasn't to give them anything, but in my heart, I put them in a dark place. God, change me. Change me, make me look more like you, because I want that kind of religion that's pure and undefiled. I want to be authentic and genuine and trustworthy in my walk with you. And for those, God, in our midst right now that are feeling vulnerable, let us remember that you are a father to the fatherless, that you care for widows and orphans, and that you care for the least of these. And they may be the least of these out there, but they are valued in here. Never let us mimic the world in our evaluation of people. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. I wonder if you'd stand with me.
We hope this message was encouraging to you. We invite you to send us an email at info@bridgechurchnyc.com so we can hear how God used this message to speak to you. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our handle on all our social media platforms is @bridgechurchnyc. Our website is bridgechurchnyc.com. If you're in the New York City area, we would love to see you on a Sunday. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and noon on Sundays at 345 Adams Street in downtown Brooklyn. Thanks for listening to our podcast today, and we hope to see you soon.